Welcome to Friendly Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
I pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
If ever I love thee, my Jesus, it's now. We talk a lot about loving Jesus, but equally important is love for one another and the way we interact with one another in this life. Jesus said, you can't love God if you don't love others. I think it's important that we understand that and how essential love is to everything we do. All learning, all actions, all everything should either be rooted in love, fully rooted in love, or the lack thereof. And if it's the lack thereof, well, how vain those actions are. Many of you know my favorite cartoon, probably in all the world, is Charlie Brown. I love Charles Schulz. I love the way that his whimsy and the way he sees life. But in one of his cartoons, the thought that's expressed is love is taking someone a glass of water in the middle of the night. Now, the illustration that goes along with that thought is good old Charlie Brown taking Snoopy a glass of water in the middle of the night. But I think in that imagery and in what is being expressed, it's so profound for each and every one of us. Because there's a lot of effort that goes into taking someone a glass of water, especially in the middle of the night. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was talking to the church at Corinth, you know, they were the church that was probably the most carnal of all the churches that Paul dealt with. Maybe not the most, but certainly carnality was one of the issues that they struggled with. And so in the middle of his first letter to the Corinthian church, we find him shifting gears between chapter 12 and chapter 14. It's almost like 12 and 14 should go together. And somewhere in the middle there, he just sort of shifts into a whole different gear and goes out on this side note and talks about love and the importance of love. Now, some biblical scholars think that maybe this was added in after the fact, that maybe someone took something else Paul had said at another time and put it in this particular place. Maybe that's so, maybe not. I don't know. But I really think Paul was being intentional here. Like we talked about in our Ecclesiastes study that goes on Tuesdays, if you're able to come, invite you to. We meet from 1 to 2. On Tuesday afternoon, and then again at 6, from 6 to 7, and invite you to that time. But as we were talking about in that study, chapters and verses are there for our benefit. Paul wasn't pinning down chapters and verses in his letter. I want you to understand that. Most texts from antiquity, even Josephus, there's chapters and verses. There are ways for us to be able to quickly reference certain things. So understand, that's what's going on here. So Paul wasn't thinking, I'm stopping here and I'm starting a new thought, and this will be chapter 13, and then we'll go into chapter 14. This was just being written as a letter, like I would write a letter to you, or you would write a letter to me. And I believe Paul knew what he was doing. He was really wanting to focus on love. And in your devotion time throughout the week, and throughout the weeks, because I can promise you, we're going to look at all of chapter 13, and we're not going to have time to look at all of it in one Sunday. But in your devotion time throughout the month of February, take time to look at chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, and see how beautifully they really all do tie together. But it's like Paul is shifting into a whole different gear, talking about love and how love is essential. Everything that we do must be seasoned with love, especially as believers. That is so important because everything Jesus did, the fact that he gave his life, shed his blood on Calvary's tree, that was an act of love. Had love not been a part of it, it would have all been in vain. But he gave himself for you and for me, securing for us what we could never do for ourselves. Love is essential. And it's the same for us. If we're not operating in love, then our life is very much in vain. And that's what Paul is saying here in this chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13, the entirety of the chapter. Now, I want to say before I start to read this, I'll be reading from the ESV, but in fourth grade, we had to learn this, and we learned it from the King James. So my memory muscle, my brain may stumble in some places on some words. I've tried to read this several times throughout the week, so I get the rhythm of the ESV in my mind, but I still go back to fourth grade memorizing this and thinking of the King James and the King James English. So bear with me if I struggle a little bit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 1, it reads like this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abides. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that there are no accidents in your word, that it's all there, purposeful for us to live by, to grow by. And Father, I pray today that we are all willing to accept this challenge, to let everything that we do be seasoned in love. Father, our world is so desperately looking for Christians, for believers who truly love them. And I pray that you use each and every one of us in that role. Someone to just reach out to purposefully love others in spite of themselves, in the hopes that through our actions, they may come to Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for answering us. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So if we look back at chapter 12, We sort of get this idea that some in the church at Corinth have this idea that there are some who are more spiritual, maybe who have more of God's favor because they have certain giftings. And maybe this is becoming a problem because all of a sudden they're thinking, hey, look at me. Look what I can do. Look at this. And Paul's saying, hey, whoa, wait a minute here. It's not about you. It's not even about your giftings. It's about God, because every good and perfect gift comes from who? God, exactly. It's about God working in and through your life. So be humble about those gifts he's given you and season them with love. Because one gift isn't necessarily more valuable or more important to the kingdom of God than the other. They're all valuable and they're all important and they all should be handled in love. If we operate outside of love, then many times those giftings and those things that God has given to us are either rendered useless or not as useful as they could be for the kingdom of God. I would never want to say it was totally useless, because if God can make a donkey talk for his purposes, then he could take the most unloving actions and turn them about for good. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather operate in love so that God doesn't have to do that work. I'd rather let things be seasoned in love so they're received in love. Do you catch this morning? I pray that you do. So I believe Paul is saying here in the very first verse, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. All the gifts are needed. All the gifts are important. If everyone played the piano, then we would have a church of piano players. Where would the singers be? If everyone sang but no one played, then, you know, it takes all of our giftings. If everyone prayed fervently, and I hope we all pray fervently, but I'm saying if that's your special gifting of God and you pray in a way that others don't, you need to be using that and using it in love for the glory of God. If everyone served on the tech crew, then there would be no one in the pews. If everyone preached, then there would be no one in the pews. We all have different giftings, and when we work together in love, they are all equally important and benefit us all, benefit our greater community, and those even in other churches, because we're working and operating in love. It's not about, look at me, look what I can do. It's about, look at what Jesus is doing in and through me. Look at how he is using my life. And in the Corinth church, it seemed like that was what was missing. It was about me and my gifts and what I'm doing. And Paul is saying, no, it's about God, what he's doing through you, and what you're doing, let it be done in love. So understand this. There may be, and I've heard people say this, I wish I had that gifting, or I wish I had some other gifting. Appreciate the gift that you have or the giftings that you have. Operate in those giftings. Thank God for those giftings. Realize that it comes from God, not from you. But ultimately, when you use those gifts, let them be seasoned with love. Otherwise, I'm like clanging brass or a tingling cymbal. Nobody likes to just hear that. But boy, when it's done in love, it's a part of the orchestra, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. When we all use our giftings together and we all operate in love, we have beautiful effects. The greatest of these is love. Paul goes on to say in verse 2, if I have all prophetic power, and I want you to understand, no one has all prophetic power or anything like that. He's just using an if. What if? I'm just saying, what if? Okay. If I have all prophetic power, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Jesus even told his disciples, if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is a tiny, tiny thing. If you have faith so tiny, and you speak to that mountain, and you say, be cast from here to the sea, if you do it believing, it will be done for you. And I know in this room, many of you have had mountains in your life that you have had to speak to, and they have been removed. But Paul is taking it another step further. He's saying, but if you could do all of that, and if you had all knowledge and all understanding, and if you really could understand all mysteries, if you had that sort of godlike power at operation in your life, yet you lacked love, then it's nothing. You know, in our family lives, I can speak from my own family life. Sonia and I have very different giftings. Some of our giftings are alike, but many of our giftings are very different. If we aren't careful and season those giftings in love, then we can butt heads very easily. Am I wrong in that? But here's the thing. When our giftings are seasoned in love, all of a sudden, instead of butting heads, they begin to complement one another. They begin to build one another up. The places that I'm weak, she builds me up. And the places where she's weak, my giftings build her up. Again, it's not me. It's Christ in me. It's me loving my wife like Christ loves the church. That's not easy, man. It's not easy to do. Because sometimes we want our way. But the truth is, we have to surrender ourselves. Christ gave himself, died for the church. So many times I have to crucify my flesh so that I can love my wife, so that I can appreciate her gifts and let her gifts complement my gifts, and we build one another and make one another stronger. It's the same in the church. Sometimes people have a real strong gifting in one thing and someone else has a real strong gifting in another, and all of a sudden it's like they're butting heads. And that's not what God wants for you. He wants you to understand that that strong gifting came from him, and this strong gifting came from him, and he wants you to, in love, let those giftings complement one another and build one another up, and in so doing, pulling the church body up together as a whole, making us stronger as a whole, so that we not only have more effect in our realm right here in this place, but also out in our greater community, in our greater world, as we go forth ministering for him. So all gifts are needed. And without love, without those gifts being seasoned with love, so many times those gifts are not as useful as they should be. Does that make sense this morning? I pray that it does. Let your giftings be seasoned with love. And just watch how much more profound way that they can be used by the hand of God. In the third verse, and for the sake of time, this is probably as far as we'll get today, but Paul says, if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I've gained nothing. I've gained nothing. Jesus himself said, no greater love has any man than his willingness to lay down his life for his friends. But if you were to, for whatever reason, lay down your life to make a name for yourself, boy, that's like a one moment in time opportunity, because once you're dead, it's done. You know? Your name might be remembered for 100 years, 1,000 years. Oh, think of the great thing he did. But if love isn't a part of it, then it's done you no eternal good. Does that make sense this morning? If you lay down your life for a friend or for someone else, out of love, out of a God-inspired and agape love, then not only will it benefit those in this life, it carries reward for you in eternity. It's so important that what we do be seasoned with love. And not a selfish kind of love, an agape kind of love. And that's what Paul is talking about here. The Greeks, again, have so many words that in our English we just don't have words for. We have one word, love. But what Paul's talking about here is agape. If I have agape, if I have God's love, a willingness to lay down my life, then it's profitable for now and for eternity. If I have a God love and I give away all that I have, then it's profitable in this life and in eternity. You know, I think back to Mark chapter 10, where the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, I've kept all these commandments. What do I lack? Jesus says, one thing, give away all that you have and follow me. And he was unwilling to do that because of his possessions. But Paul's sort of taking it another step further. He's saying, even if someone were willing to lay down everything, if they were doing it just sort of for a vain glory, look at me, look what I'm doing. That's why it's so important that we let the Holy Spirit check our motives. Then there's no profit to it. But if you do it as an act of worship, seasoned with love, God, I give you this. I lay this down, surrender it for you. I give it so other people can be blessed, but I do it in love. If you do that, then not only does it potentially carry some sort of reward in this life, more importantly, it carries reward in eternity. When we get to the end of our earthly existence and we step into God's presence. I don't know about you, but I truly want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But if we're operating out of some other motive, then we're not going to hear that. Without love, even our actions are not as effective as they should be for the kingdom of God. And that goes for every aspect of our life, in our church, in our families. If our actions aren't seasoned with true agape love, it's one thing to love your family, but it's a whole other thing to love them the way God loves them, to be willing to sacrifice for them the way God sacrificed for you. But when you do, it carries reward. Not just in this life, but in eternity with God. So as we close this morning, I want you to think about what Paul has said in these first three verses. All gifts are essential and needed. They all come from God. I know Paul didn't say that directly, but that's what we're wanting to understand, that all giftings come from God. They're all needed, they're all important, there are no insignificant gifts in the kingdom of God. Whether you're bussing a table or playing a piano, it's all important in God's economy. They're all important. Never think, look at me. Instead, think, look at Christ, what he's doing in and through me. Understand that with those giftings, they need to be seasoned with love. Without love, our gifts are not as impactful as they could be. And without love, our actions are not as impactful as they should be. My challenge to you this week is this. Make sure that everything you do, everything, be seasoned with love.
I hope you'll join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.